Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, we're in John chapter 3 today. We're going to be talking about the basics. I guess that's how I would put it. The basics of Christianity in John chapter 3. Friday night / Saturday morning, was probably more Saturday morning, like maybe 4 a.m. or something, I had a dream. In my dream, I was in a grocery store, and one of the workers of the grocery store came up to me and said, "Come, I want to show you something." And they took me to the back of the store on the far right corner, right by the meat. At least in this store, the meat was right there. And there was a door in the wall on the side by the meat. And the worker opened the door, and I went inside, and it was a bedroom. And there were two blue cots in the bedroom, and there was a man there. And he was a Muslim. And he said to me, "I want you, tell me, kingdom of God." That's what he said to me. "I want you to tell me the kingdom of God." And I said, "Okay, come." And so we went out of the bedroom into the grocery store. And we were just getting some food for him in the grocery store, you know. And we made our way up to the front to pay. And I had said, "You can be in the kingdom of God." And he said, "No, no." And I said, "No, you can." And about that time, the manager of the store came up, and I woke up. It ended right there. That's where I woke up. That's my dream. So I had a Muslim man ask me to tell him about the kingdom of God in my dream. And I think that's a pretty significant message. So then let me tell you about the kingdom of God. And let me tell you about the kingdom of God by letting Jesus tell you about the kingdom of God. So John chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 15. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So Jesus here has a private conversation with a Jewish teacher of the law, a Pharisee, it says in verse 1, named Nicodemus. It says that Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. That means he is very likely on their ruling council. It was called the Sanhedrin. Was the ruling council of the Jewish people. Nicodemus is a man who knows the law and who teaches the law. And so he's very well educated. He's like got a PhD, you know, would be a kind of a modern equivalent. Within the Jewish world, he's a very high-ranking man and a scholar. And he seems to have some kind of belief in Jesus. He says in verse 1, we know you are a teacher come from God. And how does he know? The signs. Because we see the signs that you've done, the miracles. And he is in many ways like the people in chapter 2, verse 23. This is what they're the people we talked about last week. So you remember in 2:23, it says when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus did not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in them, for he knew what was in the heart of man. And so Jesus, or Nicodemus says, we know you've come from God. And Jesus, he doesn't really play around with words. He goes straight to the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, Jesus says. That's quite a response. We know you are a teacher come from God. And his response is, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sure that Nicodemus would like to know who Jesus is. Instead, Jesus tells Nicodemus who Nicodemus needs to be. Nicodemus needs to be born again. And so, and in doing so, he's also telling you and me who we need to be. Verse 3. Look at verse 3. You need to be born again. That's verse 3. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. You need to be born again. Jesus says, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what verse 3 says. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus says, if you are not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's verse 5. Verse 5 says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is tying two ideas together. One idea is being born again. The other idea is the kingdom of God. To Jesus, they go together. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. So, let's talk about being born again. What that is, and so on. And in doing so, what we're going to talk about is entering the kingdom of God. Because they go together. So, born again is new birth. It is new life. It is a new person. You know, birth is usually when we measure the beginning of somebody's life. And Nicodemus doesn't quite understand what Jesus is talking about. He thinks Jesus is talking about physical birth. He says, how can this be? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb when he is old? That doesn't make any sense to Nicodemus. He's missing what Jesus is saying. But Jesus says, no, 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 Nicodemus. There are different kinds of birth. And so look at I'm going to read verses 5 through 8 again. This is Jesus' response. Just kind of listen to what Jesus is saying here. In verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so Jesus is, he's saying there's more than just physical birth. I mean, you can be born of the Spirit. Verse 8, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Different kinds of birth. He talks about being born of the water and the Spirit. Christians debate what it means to be born of water. I'm not really going to go into any of that debate because it doesn't really change the main meaning of this text. There is no significant debate over what born of the Spirit means. And what that means is there's no debate on Jesus' main point. Being born again is a spiritual birth. It's a new life, spiritually. You can't have a new life spiritually without God's Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit. And God's Spirit comes to you and touches you and makes you new. That's the thing about the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. That's a picture. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's what being born again means. It's a new birth. It's a spiritual birth. And when you are born again, you change. You look at life differently from how you used to look at life. Maybe you used to care about money a lot, but now it's not as important as it used to be to you. Or maybe you were worried about your career But now you seek God more, and there's more peace about the career. You trust God more. When you do that, he changes how you think, and he changes your attitudes. For me, one of the biggest changes in just being born again was peace inside. God gave me peace. For some of you, actually, let me just ask you, what was a, those of you who you know you've had this, what was a change? How did you change? Give me one way you changed when you were born again.
Purpose in my life.
Okay, you got purpose. Okay, someone else.
I love the Word of God and I wanted to read it.
Okay. Yeah, being born again means you want God's words and God's thoughts. You want His Word. That's good. Okay? Anyone else?
The way, the way I look at, how was it life? Or yeah, the way I look at life is, I would say, how to define. When I was in difficulty, before I know God, all the things I wish is the change of the circumstances.
Yes.
So I would say, I can keep optimistic because I believe the circumstance will change.
Yes.
But now for me is, okay, I know in every circumstance could change or maybe not, but I still have hope.
Okay.
I still can have hope because this hope is in God. It's not because of this, the situation changed, then I'm happy.
Yes.
But I can always find happy in Him no matter what condition it is.
Okay.
So that was the change.
Okay, good. Good. Anyone else? One way you've changed by being born of God, born again. Okay. These changes that we've described are examples of what being born again looks like. They're just examples from people's lives of what it looks like. It changes your whole way of, as you put, looking at life. You look at life a completely different way. And the reason why it changes how you look at life is that it changes you. You're changed. It's not just your perspective. Your perspective changes because you change. And so to Jesus, being born again is the most basic part of following God. And it is the most basic part of entering the kingdom of God. It's how you enter the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus, the scholar, the man who knows the law of Moses, does not understand Jesus. How can these things be? He says to Jesus. And when he says that, Jesus rebukes him. Jesus says, "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? If I told you of earthly things, and you do not believe," I'm just reading now from verses 10 through 12. "What if I told you of heavenly things?" That's what Jesus says to him. The idea he is saying to Nicodemus is this. He's saying, "Nicodemus, you have a PhD in Moses. in God's ways. And I'm telling you about God's ways, and what I'm telling you is 1 + 1. And you don't understand that. What if I told you about calculus? That's the idea that Jesus is communicating to Nicodemus. It's, Nicodemus, you're a teacher. You should understand the basics. And you don't. Jesus is saying that being born again is basic and simple. You don't need a PhD to know God. You need to be born again. You don't need to focus on obeying every law of God as if you somehow could. You couldn't do it even if you tried. Instead, you need to be born again. Nicodemus, as a Pharisee and as a teacher of the law, would be focused on a different way to enter the kingdom of God. He wouldn't be focused on being born again. He would talk about keeping the commands, is what he would talk about. He would talk about living a righteous life. He would talk about these kinds of things for entering the kingdom of God. And actually, those are not bad things. Those are good things to do them. But there are two problems with that way of entering the kingdom of God. The first problem is this. Keeping God's commands and living a righteous life tend to focus you on externals, on the outside. Like, okay, I did my good deeds today. But God wants the heart. God's not looking for the externals. But when you're focused on, I've got to do this and do this and do this, you're focused on the externals. But remember, God doesn't want your behavior. God wants you. And those aren't the same thing. That's the first problem with entering the kingdom of God just by keeping the commandments. Here's the second problem with that. It is that you're not able to do it. I mean, you start looking at the law and seeing what the law says, and it says things like, do not lie. Okay, have you ever lied? Well, okay, we broke that one. It says things like, honor your parents. Have there been times when you really didn't? Yeah. Well, we've broken that one. It says things like, do not commit adultery. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that if a man lusts after a woman in his heart, he has committed adultery with her. Have you done that? Okay, well, you've broken that one. Or Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not murder, but I tell to you that if you're angry with your brother without cause, have you done that? Well, yeah, okay, well, you've broken that one. And the truth of the matter is that you and I have broken all these commandments multiple times. I mean, we're repeat offenders. You're not actually able to keep all the commandments. That's the problem with entering the kingdom of God by keeping the commandments, is that if that is the criteria, you and I automatically lose. Because we can't. Apart from Christ, that's not where your heart is. We like sin. We like our ways. And when you focus on your ways, you're not focusing on keeping God's commands. And you're not going to do it. You need to change. What needs to happen is you and I need to change. And you know where we need to change? We need to change at the heart level. Not the behavior level, the heart level. God wants to take you inside. He wants to change you from the inside out. He just doesn't want you to do good things, but with the same old heart. No, he wants a new heart. This is the problem with people who say, you just need to be a good person and God will accept you. Well, the problem with that is that we're not good people on our own. And that idea that you just need to be a good person is very shallow. It's a shallow idea. Because, you know, the best people I know are the people who will say to you that they're not good people. It's one of the ironies of life. The guy who was my mentor, who I look up to, who, you know, godly man, very godly man, would constantly talk about how sinful he was. Because the closer you get to God, the more clearly you see your own sin. That's really true. And so that we're really not able to live the life God wants us to live on our own. Do you know what you need? You need to be born again. That's what you need. You need a new life. To know God, you do not need a better life. You need a new life. There's a difference. God is not really about the business of reforming people. He is about the business of transforming people. Reforming just means you take the same person and make him better. Transforming means you completely change who the person is. And that's what God is about the business of. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. New birth is the foundation to everything else in the Christian life. New birth gives you a new heart. And you're no longer focused on maybe looking good. You now have a real heart to trust Jesus. New birth changes who you are and not just what you do. New birth changes your spiritual DNA. It's not like you have the same DNA. When you have new birth, you have new DNA, spiritually speaking. Physically speaking, you don't have new DNA. But spiritually speaking, you have new DNA because you've been born of God. In the kingdom of God, what matters is not just what you do, but who you are. This is why new birth is so basic. It's so fundamental to Jesus. Because Jesus wants men and women who have been changed by God. And for that, you must be born again. Now, Western culture doesn't particularly like the idea of being born again. Here in America, they make fun of it a lot. Scorn it. A lot of people will scorn, you know, oh, they're one of those born again people. And part of that scorn is because there are people who talk about being born again, but they aren't. That's part of it. But mostly, the mockery and the scorn come from the fact that when God gives you a new life, what happens is you no longer think the way your culture thinks. You think differently from your culture when you're born again. You no longer live the same way your culture, the things they think are normal, you don't think are normal anymore because you've changed. You're different from what you used to be. And your culture mostly does not like the change. Because cultures like people to do what the culture says. That's true of all cultures. It's true of Chinese culture, Japanese culture, American culture, Indonesian culture, European culture, Arab culture, Muslim culture, African culture. That's true of culture. When you're in a culture, the culture wants you to behave, so to speak. They want you to do what they think you should do. When you're born again, you think differently. And you suddenly find yourself outside your culture in many ways. I don't mean you stop. I'm still American. I'm not trying to say I'm not an American, and I don't, you know. There are things about American culture I really like, but there are things about American culture I cannot really support anymore because I'm different. I'm born again. It's different. And that is going to be true in all cultures. It'll be true in Japanese culture. It'll be true in Chinese culture. It's just something that's going to happen when you're born again. And you can expect some pushback from the culture over maybe some ways you think or ways you live or some choices you make or whatever it is that you make these choices because of Jesus. But the culture doesn't understand Jesus. Western culture's real problem with being born again is really a problem with Jesus. Because being born again is what Jesus taught. It's basically, I mean, I just read it to you. It's his idea. Unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, he said. And if I have to make a choice between Jesus or my culture, I'm choosing Jesus. And so, and I would say the same for you guys in your cultures. If you follow Jesus, you're going to be, we'll just say, you'll be weird in your culture. And be sure of this, when you are born again, Jesus is central to you. Here, Jesus says this. I'm going to go down now to verses, let's start in verse 13. Jesus says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Here, Jesus is calling himself, first of all, the Son of Man. You see that in verse, I think it's 13 or 14. He is the Son of Man who has descended from heaven. And the Son of Man, descending from heaven, is a reference. Jesus is referring to the Old Testament here. He's referring to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, where there is in there, there's one like a son of man who sits on the throne in heaven and who comes on the clouds of glory and who rules over a kingdom that is composed of all nations, of all peoples, and who receives service and worship as God. That is Daniel 7, the Son of Man. And Jesus calls himself that. He says, I am that Son of Man. That's who the Son of Man is in the Old Testament. And Jesus says, that's me. He then says, verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And so in 13, when he's talking about the Son of Man descending from heaven, he's referring to an Old Testament reference. In verses 14 and 15, he's referring to another Old Testament reference. And it's a story from Numbers 21. There, the people sinned. And there was a judgment on the people for their sin. There was a plague of serpents, snakes, in the wilderness. And Moses lifted up, God instructed Moses to do this, but he lifted up on a big pole high up in the air. He made a metal snake, a bronze serpent, put it on the pole, lifted it up, and any who looked to it would be healed. And Jesus says, as Moses did that, as he lifted up the bronze serpent, so will I be lifted up. And all who look to me will have eternal life. That's verse 15. All who looked to the serpent in the story were healed from their sin. Jesus is saying all who look to me will be healed from their sin when I am lifted up. Jesus' being lifted up took place at the cross. He actually literally was lifted up on a pole and hung on a pole, just like that bronze serpent hung on a pole. And as the purpose of that serpent in Moses' story was to heal and cleanse, so the purpose of the cross is to heal and cleanse. The cross is central to new life. Jesus is central to new life. To be born again, verse 15, you believe in him. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. That's what he says in verse 15. We're going to talk about that again next week because that he says exactly the same thing in verse 16. And eternal life, guys, is the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God is eternal life. You will not see it unless you're born again. Being born again is a spiritual birth that involves, verse 15, believing in Jesus. That's what it involves. He is central to new life. He is the one who gives it. And many of you already know this firsthand because you have believed in him. You were born again. Jesus gave you new life. And you know how different you are now from what you used to be in the past. And you're grateful. Because you know that you didn't deserve what you got. You didn't. That's one of the things about being born again, is it's not something you deserve. If you get what you deserve, you're actually not going to like the result. But God is gracious to us. He gives us much better than what we deserve. He's been gracious to me. He's been gracious to you. Now, if you've never experienced new life in Jesus, you can. It's open. It's free to all comers. God is just as gracious to you as he is to anyone else. Look at verse 15. It says that whoever believes in him. So whoever means whoever. That means anybody. It's not like only certain people can do this. It's whoever does it. And that includes you. God accepts all who believe in him. All. He gives them a new life. He makes them a new person. He invites them into the kingdom of God. He gives them eternal life. All this is in the text we just read. Without this, Jesus says, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So, I'm going to do this. We're going to close. I'm just going to have a time to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray. You can pray silently. You can pray aloud. I'll leave that up to you. You can pray in your language. If you are born again, I want you to just thank God for what he's done. He's been very kind to you, more than you know. If you're not and you desire new life in Christ, I'm going to ask you to ask God to help you believe. That's really what it entails. Just believe. From the heart. It's got to be a heart thing. It has to be a real belief, not just a fake going through the motions kind of thing. And so I'm going to give us a minute to pray, and then I am going to ask if Leanne, would you close our time in prayer?